All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter number 12. I'm going to continue to preach the series of messages we've started on this blessed old book, amen? Talk about sticking with the old ways. I'll stick with the old paths. The book of Jeremiah, they were told to seek out the old paths and to stand therein and walk therein. And there's so many today that are leaving the old past, but I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for this Bible. I'm thankful for those that have died for it. Thankful for those men of God down through the years that affected my life personally, and they did so because they stood with the old. They stood with the old stuff. They stood with the Bible and the teachings of God's Word, and did not compromise on those things. You realize today that this Bible is just as relevant today as it was the day it was written. It's just as effective today as the day that it was written. And so there's nothing that needs to be improved on or changed on it. And so we're talking about the Bible, God's holy word. And we looked at the inspiration of Scripture. And last week we started on the preservation of Scripture. We looked last week that God's word, it claims preservation for itself. It tells us that it's preserved. And we're going to look at two of those verses now and then get into the message this morning. And I'm thankful for my Bible. We're going over in Sunday school all the things that God did for us when He saved us, the very moment that we were saved. And we looked at the new birth this morning, and all those things come from the Word of God, and they come from this book, and I'm so thankful for it. Whenever we go to Teen Challenge, and I'm very thankful for that ministry, but there is a lot of confusion there because there's so many different Bible versions sitting there. There's a lot of confusions. I'll preach a message, and it's on the doctrine, on a certain doctrine of the Word of God, and it's confusing to some of them because their Bible changes those words, and when you change those, you change the very words of God, and you change the teachings and the doctrine of His Word. And so it's very sad to see the confusion, but I'm here to tell you this morning that God is not the author of confusion. So if He's not the author of it, then who is? Amen? All right, so we're looking at the preservation of Scripture. Last week we looked at the Word of God has been preserved by God's promise. And today I want to look at God's Word has been preserved by His power. Psalms chapter number 12, and look at verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. All right, I need to get there myself. Psalms chapter number 12 and verse number 6. Okay, the Bible says, "The words of the Lord are pure. They're pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So God promises that He would preserve His Word. You say, where are they preserved? Look at Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse number 89. He promised that His Word would be preserved from that generation forever. God has kept His Word. We saw last week that God cannot lie. God will not lie. And He promised throughout His Word that He would preserve His Word, that He would keep His Word, and that's exactly what He's done. No matter how many attacks has come against it, He's preserved His Word. Psalms 119 and verse number 89. Look what the Bible says here. "Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven." Now, there's those that might say that, yes, they're settled in heaven, but we cannot have a perfect copy today. And if that is the case, then you're questioning the very character of God. And you're calling Him a liar for saying that He cannot keep His Word. And I go back to this often, that if God can keep me saved, and I believe He does because of His Word, if He can keep me saved and I fight against Him, how can He not keep a book that's not fighting against Him? God promised preservation for His Word. And we see that it is preserved by His power. We looked at last week, it's preserved by His promise, and God cannot lie. And this week I want to look that it's preserved by His power. Turn with me over to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. Since the very beginning of the Bible, God's Word has been under attack. And it has not stopped to today. The Word of God has continually been under attack from the very beginning. And we see men today and women and different rulers and different governments and different things trying to attack the Word of God. And that's sad to see, and it's hard to see. But God's Word will prevail. God's Word will prevail. I was thankful when I was over in Papua New Guinea. Do you know what the national book of Papua New Guinea is? It is the English King James Bible. That is the national book of the country of Papua New Guinea when they were founded. And that they've seen a great revival there. But you know why I believe? Because God's Word is magnified in that country. Amen. And you know why God will bless your home and your family and will bless our church? When His Word is magnified in your life and in your home. Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 3. I want to say, first of all, this morning, that the prince of darkness has been trying to destroy God's Word since the beginning. You say, who's the prince of darkness? That is Satan himself, the devil. Look with me in chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not touch it, or ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The prince of darkness here in this passage has begun something that he never stopped, and that is trying to get man to question the very Word of God. He's trying to get them to not only question it, but to change the Word of God. We see that here in the Scripture. In verse number 1, we see that he says to Eve, yea, hath God said. You know what he's trying to get her to do? He's trying to get her to question, did God really mean that? Did God really say that? Is that really what he was talking about? And that got Eve to begin to think, well, is that what God said? Is that really what he said? You know, the devil's still doing that today. The preacher will be up preaching, and he'll preach from the Word of God, and he'll preach about any subject. He'll preach on standards or convictions or living right or doing right, and the devil wants to get in somebody's ear and says, is that really what that means? Is that really how we're supposed to dress? Is that really what he's talking about? That's all he said to Eve, is he got her to question what exactly God said. Back in the previous chapters when God told Eve exactly what he said, and we're going to look at that in just a second, that was one chapter ago. That wasn't that long ago. And now Eve is questioning what God said because of Satan. I'm here to tell you this morning, we already know it from last week, God is not a liar. And he's not the author of confusion. And so if there's any confusion about what God said, the confusion is not with God. Amen? It's not with God. He says, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, is that what God said? No. He immediately begins to try to twist in her mind exactly what God said. God never said they could not eat of every tree of the garden. God said, hey, look at all the trees of the garden. You can eat of every one of them you want to, except for this one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so immediately we see Satan trying to destroy God's Word from the very beginning. With the very first creations of God, with Adam and Eve, he goes to the woman. She's the weaker vessel here, the Bible tells us. And he begins to play with her mind to get her to question the Word of God. You say, what does this have to do with the preservation of Scripture? I'm trying to tell you that the devil has been trying to pervert the Scripture since the very beginning. He's been trying to twist the mind of man to question God's Word. We see young men and ladies that leave to go off to a university or they go off to a Bible college somewhere, and they go having a firm understanding of what the Word of God says, and then they leave those places questioning the very Word of God. That's what happened right here in the Garden of Eden, at the Garden of Eden University. We find that the prince of darkness is trying to destroy God's Word right from the start. I mean, you have Adam and Eve, the first people there, and God gives them a word, and already one chapter later, they're messing it up. And who was involved? Satan was involved. He was trying to twist and to destroy God's word. He caused Eve to question the very words of God. This is the first place where the word of God was even questioned and changed. You say, what changed? Well, number one, Satan tried to change what God said because he said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Did God tell you that you couldn't eat of every tree of the garden? And Eve, thankfully, responded back, said, no, that's not what he said. He said, we can eat of all the trees of the garden. Verse number three, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. And she should have stopped right there. Because she goes on to say, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I have a theory on this that's not Bible. Amen. I think that God told Adam, do not eat of the tree in the garden. And then Adam went to his wife and said, don't eat of the tree. A matter of fact, don't touch it. I don't know that that happened, but, you know, sometimes people can't help it. You got to take it a step further. Hey, don't touch. Matter of fact, don't even look at it. I don't know that that's what happened. But regardless of what took place there, we find here where the word of God got added to. Whether it was Adam that told Eve, don't eat it and don't touch it, or whether it was Satan that got in her mind and got her to question the word of God, and now she can't remember exactly what it was said. Either way, the word of God got added to. Because Jesus, or God, did not tell them that they could not touch it. Look at there in verse number, chapter 2 and verse number 17, or verse 18. 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Okay? That's what he said. The devil tried to say something different. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, right after that, God makes Eve. So God gave that to him. And either man messed it up, or the devil messed it up, but either way, the word of God got added to. And ever since then, Trapper, the word of God has been added to and taken away from in the devil's attempt to destroy God's word. Y'all have heard me say this before and give this illustration before. The devil can appear as the angel of light, is that right? He can appear as the angel of light, and he is the anti-Christ. He wants to look just like Christ, but he's not. And he wants to deceive God's people. Now, there are people out there in the world today that are Satan worshipers. And you know they're Satan worshipers, and they let you know about it, and you know exactly where they stand. Okay? There's groups out there like that. Stay away from them. Amen? Don't have nothing to do with any of that stuff. Any of that trying to get into the spirit world and all that stuff, man, you cannot handle it. Stay away from it. Amen? And so we know there's people like that. But the devil knows that he cannot get us to just go join the Satan worshipers. Right? Because we're Bible believers and we have a Bible in our hand. And we know that Jesus died on the cross and rose again. And we know that he's the King of Kings. We know those things. So how is the devil going to get us to switch to his side, but do it subtly, like he did with Eve in the garden? God has a word. He has his Bible. So do you know what Satan has done? Satan has his Bibles. And down through the ages, I'm going to give you some information on this as we preach through this series. There will be more to come next week. Down through the ages, Satan has tried to manipulate the Word of God, but yet leave Word of God on the front of the Bible. And he's tried to corrupt texts. And he's tried to corrupt the Word of God and make subtle changes. Ever so subtle, he's tried to make changes. He's taken out 17 verses or 16 verses out of the NIV, completely gone. I mean, it goes from 19 to 21. Or from 20 to 22, verse 21. Matthew 17, 21 is completely missing from the NIV. And there's 16 other verses just like it. And so he's very subtly, but yet the people today, they say, hey, I've got a Bible. And the devil's just as pleased as can be. Just as Eve began to question God's word back there. So the devil has a Bible. God has a Bible. God has a church. Amen. God has a church that he puts his blessing on, that stands on the word of God. And but you know what the devil has? The devil has churches also. All over the country this morning, there's people standing in pulpits, and there's churches that are meeting together that the devil is pleased with. Why? Because everything about their church service goes against the word of God. The devil has a Bible. God has a Bible. The devil has a church. God has a church. We're talking about the Antichrist. He's trying to be like Christ, but he's not. God has preachers. You don't think the devil has preachers? Ministers of Satan? You don't think he's got them that can get on television and that they can get in these big churches and get up and they're such elegant speakers and all these things? And every bit of it has been an attack on the very Word of God from the very beginning. And Satan has been trying to do that all the way since the beginning. So we find the prince of darkness has been trying to destroy God's Word. Satan has continued to try to add and change the Word of God since the very beginning and has caused man to doubt the very words of God. You say, what happened? God's word always prevails. God's word always prevails. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 31 very quickly. Exodus chapter 31. We're trying to look at this morning that God's word is preserved by his power. Exodus chapter 31. Now, I'm using this passage for illustration purposes. I'm not trying to say this about Moses, even though there's some truth found in it. Not only do we find the prince of darkness has been trying to destroy God's word since the beginning, but man and preachers have been trying to destroy God's word since the beginning. Exodus chapter 31, and look at verse number 18. Y'all there? And he gave unto Moses, this is God given to Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Moses is holding these tables of stone with the very words of God on it, written with the finger of God. Exodus chapter 31 and verse number 18. So he's holding the very words of God. And for all the geeks that like technology in here, that thought they had the great latest and greatest, Moses had the very first tablet that was downloading data from the cloud. And you're going to see here later, not only did he have the first tablet downloading data from the cloud, but he also had the second one. All right, so Steve Jobs was way behind. He had him beat. But we see here that Moses receives the word of God that's written there. You say, well, what happened to it? Because of the people, the word of God got destroyed. Because of the people. You say, what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? Well, here, let's look at this real quick. Look at Exodus chapter 32, verse 15. We know when Moses is up there that the Israelites, they went to Aaron and said, they said, make us gods. Would you make us gods? The people always are looking for something else to worship. The media and social media and all those things are giving you things to worship. They said, make us gods. And so he said, take off your earrings, your jewelry, and they put it all on the fire, and they made this golden calf. And while Moses and God are communing and they're talking, God starts to get very angry. Can you imagine Moses there? He's been communing with God. He's getting the Ten Commandments. And he's writing them down. All of a sudden, you look up and God's getting mad. You're like, what did I do wrong? But God knows everything. He sees everything. And he starts getting mad at the people. And he's talking about destroying the people. And Moses is like, God, I've been here with you. I have no clue what's going on back down there. But would you please? And you go back and read it. Moses starts pleading for the people. Moses comes down off the mountain and he sees the dancing and the nakedness and the worshiping of these idols. And Moses takes the table of stone and casts them down and destroys the word of God. And he did it because of the people. You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Andrew? I'm trying to say this morning that there's preachers all around this country that are getting up in the pulpit and they're destroying the word of God because of the people they're talking to. Because they're afraid that Moneybags is going to leave the church if they preach on something. Because they're afraid that one of the women are going to get offended if there's preaching on submission or the role in the home, or worried that this couple that's here is going to get upset because they have a family member that's living in sin, or whatever the case might be. They don't want to offend anybody. So they're destroying the word of God from the very pulpit. Moses looked down, he saw the people, and he went up to Aaron and said, hey, what's going on? He's like, man, we threw all that jewelry in there and this calf jumped out. It was a three-ring circus around there. People were dancing. They weren't clothed. All these things were going on, and there was wickedness going on. And because of that, Moses threw the word of God down that God wrote with his very finger, and that tables of stone were destroyed. And there's preachers all over the country doing that this morning. Do you know how they're doing it? Very subtly, just like Satan. Turn over here and let's read this verse, and they'll read the verse and they'll say, well, I don't like the way it's worded here. So we're going to go over and look in this other version because I like the way it's worded better over here. And very subtly, they just destroyed God's word. Moses threw that thing down. Moses was the first person to break all Ten Commandments at one time. And there's been people trying to do it ever since. Preachers have changed and try to destroy God's word. You say, why do they do that? They do it most of the time because of the people. They do it for popularity. They do it because of the position that they're in. They want a big church, or they want whatever the case is, but all they're doing is furthering the agenda of the devil when they destroy and attack the word of God. You say, well, man, God's word got destroyed. What happened? Well, thankfully, God's word is settled in heaven. Because look at chapter 34, verse 1. Chapter 34, verse 1. Say, oh my, the word of God got destroyed by the preacher. Does that mean it's destroyed forever? Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. You know what he said, Brother Bowen? Don't worry about it. I've got them. And God's word settled in heaven. He said, go ahead and make two more stones, and I'm just going to write down exactly what were in the first one. Man cannot destroy the word of God. We're talking about the preservation of Scripture. Satan can't destroy it. Man cannot destroy the word of God. Let me give you the last one this morning. There'll be a second part to this message, Lord willing, next week. Turn with me over to Jeremiah chapter number 36. God's word prevails once again. Jeremiah chapter number 36. I'm sure there's many more examples in the scripture of some of these things, and there might be some that have illustrations running through their mind, because through the ages, God's word has been under attack. I'm just trying to give you three this morning. The prince of the world tried to destroy the word of God. Preachers have tried to destroy the word of God. And pagan rulers have tried to destroy the word of God. And that's going to lead me into my next point next week. And I'm going to try to give you some illustrations of how the Word of God has been, people have been trying to destroy it. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you cannot do away with the Word of God. God promised preservation for it. I believe that He's preserved it, and I believe that we have it. Amen? And who are we? That's a lot of arrogance for us to say that, well, God couldn't keep, you know, couldn't preserve His Word, and we can have it in the originals. I mean, who are we to say that? To question the character of God that He couldn't preserve His Word. We're going to go over some historical evidence for it. And I've given you plenty of Bible for it. And if you believe your Bible, you got to believe it. But you know what? If I didn't have any of the historical evidence to prove that God preserved His Word, I do have faith in my Creator. And I have faith in my Savior that if He said it's preserved, then He preserved it. Amen? Jeremiah chapter 36, the prince of darkness has been trying and still trying to destroy the Word of God. Preachers have been trying to destroy the Word of God. Pagan rulers have been trying to destroy the Word of God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 36, verse number 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. And it may be that the house of Judah will hear the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. And from verse number 4 all the way down through verse number 15, the reading of the book takes place. The princes get to hear the reading of the word. And then we get down to verse number 21, and the king hears the reading of the word of God. And here's what he does, and here's what most people do, and what rulers all around the world, and philosophers, and teachers, and all these great men of supposed wisdom do when they hear the word of God. Verse number 21, so then the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama's, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he was three or four pages in, that the king cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. You say, what happened? He tried to destroy the Word of God. You know, maybe in his mind that he thought that if he destroyed the Word of God, maybe it would erase what God ever said. Man today has been trying to do that. All these people and these philosophers and all these things down through the ages, they think they're smarter than God, and they try to destroy the Word of God to make it seem like it never was true. They try to destroy the creation story, and they try to attack the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and they try to attack all those Bible doctrines, and they do the best they can to try to get people to question the very Word of God, and they try to destroy it. And this king had this thing read to him, the Word of God, and he took a penknife, and he destroyed it, and he cut it up, like a lot of people are doing today, cutting up the Word of God, and then he burns it. And look what the Bible says after this happens. Look at verse number, I believe it's 24. Verse number 24. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. There was no reverence for the Word of God. It was preached that they were sinning and that God was going to bring judgment, and they said, we're not afraid. A matter of fact, let's just burn this and let's pretend like it never happened. and they burned the very word of God, the scroll, the actual. You say, what are you getting at? I'm talking about they burned the physical copy of the word of God. We believe the word of God is perfect in the originals. Well, where are the originals? There's one copy of the originals that was burnt right there. Where are the originals of the Ten Commandments? They were destroyed. You see what I'm getting at? They were destroyed. They were burnt up, and there was no reverence. There was no fear for the Word of God. Over in Romans chapter number 1, we read of a generation that knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, and they were blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, and knew the judgment of God. But they didn't care. They didn't even care. Not only did they know the judgment of God, but the Bible says they took pleasure in the disobedience of the Word of God. We have people today, even in churches, they are defiant to the Word of God. I mean, the preacher will get up and preach Bible standards, Bible convictions, and they'll go right out and they will defiantly do something and then put it all over Facebook out of defiance because they don't care what you said or the Bible says. You're on dangerous ground. Because it's not the preacher you're attacking. It's that book. That's dangerous ground. It's not the preacher you're attacking. It's this Bible. What did Jesus tell His disciples about those that said, well, man, they're going to hate us? He's like, they don't hate you. They hate Me. It's that Bible they don't like. Them athletes, when Tim Tebow and all those things have those verses all over his face, that's what offended people. It was the Word of God. How often do you hear an athlete or somebody get up and they say, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. That's taking a stand. They get up and say, I want to thank God. Well, we don't know what God you're talking about. Amen. Y'all all right? I'm almost done. For those that are suffering through it, I'm almost done. Not afraid. These pagan leaders have been trying to destroy the Word of God. He says, man, we're done with it. We destroyed it. It's gone. Don't worry about it. Move on. Oh, king. Oh, pagan ruler. What you don't realize is God's word is settled in heaven. And He is going to make copy number 2. Look at verse number 27. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote on the at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, did God say, oh no, where did that copy go? Oh man. They destroyed the copy. They destroyed the originals. Good luck, Jeremiah. Hey, Christians forevermore, good luck. You know, David had already written at this point that thy word is settled in heaven. He had forever. He had already written that it would be preserved from this generation forever. God went to Jeremiah. We're talking about the preservation of Scripture. We talked about the inspiration of Scripture. God inspired His word. God preserved His word. And just like God did with Jeremiah here, in verse number 28, take thee again another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. God's word is settled in heaven. God's word prevails again. Do you think anybody today has a copy of that second one? I mean, really, do you? No. But we're reading what it said. Trapper, we're reading what God told Jeremiah. And down through the ages. And when this thing was translated over into English, I'm telling you, there was a great attack against the Word of God. A great attack. So you believe that God inspired and He moved those men to translate? Yes, I do. Why? Because God preserved His Word. We see illustration of Him doing that in the Bible. Where the original copy was destroyed, and God said, that's fine. I know what it is. You think God can't speak English to transform it over to English? Amen. What about all these other languages that people are moving? Hey, if God is in it, it's going to be right. Amen. Well, you got a lot of faith in those men. Nope, I don't. I do have a lot of faith in God, though. You can go back and look at all the translators of the Bible. Go back and look at all the prophets and all the men. Look at Moses. Look at David. Man, there were some wicked, sorry, no good guys. Moses was a murderer. He was a murderer. But when God gets involved, and I'm thankful I'm nobody but a dirt ball that's been saved by the grace of God. And when God gets involved, He can do something. When God gets involved, He can build a church and build a family and build a home when God's involved. And God promised that He would preserve His word. I haven't got to it yet. It's coming. But God has exalted the name of Jesus above everything. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And the only thing He holds higher than the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, is His word. There's nothing exalted higher to God. And you're telling me that He can't preserve it and keep it? I believe He can. And because we have the preserved Word of God, whenever a man stands to preach the Word of God, the Holy Spirit can teach you something. And God, the Holy Spirit that inspired the Word, that preserved the Word, can apply the Word to your heart. And you can feel God work and move out of the preaching of His Word. Man, I'm thankful for it. You say, you love your Bible. Oh, yes, I do. And I take offense to people that don't or that try to correct it. Amen? Let's all stand. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. The Scripture has been preserved by the power of God. I'm going to give you some illustrations next week of pagan unbelievers that have tried to destroy and eradicate and do away with the Word of God. But I want to tell you here this morning, it cannot be done. Amen. Thank God for it. Brother Bowen, you pray.